Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Mission Impossible, Fallout, and Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot. Hi, David. How are you?
Okay, Jill. How are you doing this week?
I am all right, though I can't really say Mission Impossible, it appears. Because I didn't realize that it was punctuated that way.
You stumbled for just a moment there, but that's perfectly understandable. It is very complicated, very postmodern punctuation in that title with a colon and a dash. The movie itself is not so postmodern. It is a very straight-ahead, I would say old-fashioned action thriller, except that it's done very much in the modern style with all of the insanely fast cutting, the over-the-top stunts, and all of that sort of thing. That said, it's pretty entertaining. It goes on for almost 2.5 hours. It's really just sort of a squeak under 2.5 hours, except really the whole last part is credits. Aside from going on a bit too long, it's a pretty entertaining movie of this type of thing. So this is, of course, part of the Mission Impossible franchise. This is actually the sixth in this series of films, which has been going on now since 1996, when Brian De Palma directed the first one. And there have been some pretty considerable filmmakers who have helmed these various movies: John Woo, J.J. Abrams, Brad Bird, and now the previous one and this one done by Christopher McQuarrie. The cast is certainly very, very good. We have inevitably Tom Cruise as our hero, who is a guy named Ethan Hunt. And of course, he at the very beginning gets the traditional message, which gives him his mission if he chooses to accept it, and then it self-destructs. And we have Henry Cavill as another extremely important character. I won't give away much about him. Ving Rhames is in as, and I have to say, there does seem to be a certain amount of sort of tokenism in this movie. Ving Rhames is wonderful. He's always been a very fine actor. He's good, but he plays a distinctly sort of third rank role as the sort of token African-American male, and Angela Bassett plays a very small role as the token African-American woman. Still, it's good to see both of those very, very fine actors in the film. Simon Pegg returns as the character Benji Dunn. He's been around before. Ving Rhames has also been around before as Luther Stickle in this franchise. And we have Vanessa Kirby, who plays a character known as the White Widow, and Michelle Monaghan. A whole lot of people who are fun and engaging to watch. So, of course, Ethan Hunt, the Tom Cruise character, is a very important member of the Impossible Missions Force, which is very often referred to in the film as the IMF. And this is not to be confused with the International Monetary Fund. He is not dangling off cliff tops and leaping off of helicopters and stuff in the cause of the International Monetary Fund. It's all about the other IMF, the Impossible Missions Force. And in this case, they are battling various people, including Sean Lane, who plays an anarchist named Solomon Lane, who is extremely evil. There's a lot of paranoia expressed about anarchists in this movie. And the basic setup is that a whole anarchist gang called the Apostles have gotten a hold of 3 lumps of plutonium. And they intend to set off this plutonium in various places and cause horrible chaos in the world. And the real mastermind behind this plot is, behind this scheme, is one John Lark, who is another anarchist. And his motto is, the greater the suffering, the greater the peace. Therefore, his goal is to cause an enormous amount of suffering so that in his mind, ultimately, there will be greater happiness and contentment and satisfaction and peace in the world. As you well know, Jill, my own motto is, the greater the suffering, the greater the peace. But hey, I don't mind that John Lark has taken it over. And he is certainly a very nefarious character and a mysterious one. For a certain part of this movie, there are certain people in the movie who believe that our hero Ethan Hunt may in fact himself be John Lark. And I need not tell you that that turns out not to be the case. We've been following Ethan Hunt through enough of these movies now, even if we haven't seen every single moment of every single one, to know that he is not the evil anarchist John Lark. But anyway, there's a whole lot of intrigue of various kinds. The main point of this movie is not the intrigue, however. The main point, as everybody, including writer-director Christopher McQuarrie, have acknowledged, is to put the main character and other characters and us through a whole lot of stunts. And I have to say, Tom Cruise has just turned 56 years old. He looks a bit older than he used to, surprise, surprise. And I have to say, I've never found Tom Cruise a very appealing actor. And I have to say that at least his face aging makes it a little bit more interesting to look at. That is, his mature face at least has a little bit of character to it now, which I think his younger face did not have. The same thing is going with other actors. I mean, I think that Robert Redford has looked much, much more interesting as he's gotten much, much older. Ditto for Clint Eastwood. So Tom Cruise is starting to head in that direction. He's not as old as those guys yet, but he looks a little bit, again, more mature and more interesting to watch. And again, he still does all of his own stunts, which is quite extraordinary, and these stunts would be astonishing if he were 25, much less 56. He does things like, the very first thing we see him do is he is parachutes out of a plane along with another guy, and the other guy's parachute does not deploy, and they jump up from so high, around 5 miles high, that there's no oxygen to speak of up there. And so Tom Cruise's character has to rescue the other guy by transferring his oxygen tank to the other guy while they are falling down from this enormous height. And the publicity for the film, and I'm not the first critic to note this because it's quite marvelous, this makes Tom Cruise the first actor in a major motion picture to jump out of a Boeing C-17 Globemaster III from a height of 25,000 feet. Well, I think he's probably the first actor in a major or minor motion picture to do that. In any case, it is very impressive. And I was even more impressed by the final stunt, which is diffusing this plutonium stuff, the three different lumps of plutonium are sort of linked together, diffusing it while fighting a protracted battle on a clifftop. And I, as an acrophobe, am always extra thrilled by clifftop battles. And we have Tom Cruise clinging by what appears to be his fingernails to the face of this cliff at one point. And anyway, yeah, it's a lot of fun. There is not one single itsy-bitsy tiny little shred of substance to any of this, but it's fun. We also have the reappearance late in the film of Tom Cruise's character's wife, and that allows the movie to come to an ending which is utterly gookily sentimental, the only part of the film that really is, while still leaving Ethan Hunt's personal life, romantic life, love life, wide open at the end of the film. So guess what? I think there are going to be more sequels. So what did I think of Mission Impossible Fallout? I thought it was fun, forgettable, but it certainly does put you on a pretty wild ride. And I guess that's what this sort of movie is, in fact, all about. Our other movie for today, Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot, that title, which sounds like a mere cliche, is actually extremely ironic because this is based on a book by a real-life guy who became a quadriplegic. So, and he was a cartoonist, John Callahan. He died back in 2010. And the movie is sort of a biopic about John Callahan, and he was a cartoonist, and the caption of one of his cartoons, very, very dark comedy here, was about a guy in a wheelchair who can't get around without the wheelchair. Don't worry, he won't get far on foot. So that's where that comes from. The movie was directed by Gus Van Sant. Now, Gus is a very, very interesting filmmaker who I knew many years ago. I've interviewed him and so forth. A very, very interesting guy who sort of, over his career, oscillated between movies which are really flat-out commercial and, to my mind, not very interesting. Movies like Good Will Hunting and Finding Forrester. And movies which are very, very advanced, adventurous and experimental and almost avant-garde, like Jerry and Last Words and Elephant. Very, very interesting filmmaker who can do both. He can do the straight-out commercial product, and he can do very, very bold and interesting experiments with cinematic form and so forth. And I respect him enormously for that. I certainly don't like all of his movies very much, but when he hits, he can score quite marvelously. Now, this movie, in a way, is a sort of a combination. It's a commercial movie, and it's meant for, you know, big screens and all of that. But it also has sort of an unconventional structure. It sort of jumps around in time a fair amount. We see the later life John Callahan in his wheelchair addressing a group and so forth. And then we also see little occasional, not very much of this, little animations based on his cartoons. And we have flashbacks and, you know, again, all kinds of jumping around in time. So it does have that kind of experimentalism, a little bit more than an ordinary sort of flashback structure. Now, the actor who plays John Callahan in the movie is Joaquin Phoenix. Now, he, of course, is a wonderful actor who can do all kinds of things. And it seems that in some ways, the more sort of dysfunctional and cranky the character is, the more suited the character is to Joaquin Phoenix, to his talents. I'll mention for one example, The Master, which he made several years ago. So anyway, he's very, very fine in this movie, but inevitably there has been some controversy about this, which has been going on ever since the movie opened at the Sundance Festival, because there is a whole lot of feeling nowadays that anybody who is of a certain, whether it's ethnicity or race or state of disability or so forth, should be played by a person who falls into that category, him or herself. So here we have the extremely able-bodied Joaquin Phoenix playing a quadriplegic through most of the movie. So does this somehow sort of show disrespect for the actual disabled community and so forth? I will only say, and again, I'm not the first critic to say this, John Callahan developed this project for quite a few years with Gus Van Sant. And the original idea, which John Callahan was fully behind, was to have Robin Williams star in the movie. So whatever, you know, one may feel about the disability, having an able-bodied actor play this part, which, by the way, is okay with me. I mean, that's part of the point of Joaquin Phoenix, is that he can do all of these different things. Callahan himself was all for Robin Williams playing, and of course Williams himself died about 4 years ago. So it's not too surprising that it ended up being somebody other than Robin Williams, and I'm glad that it ended up being somebody like Joaquin Phoenix. And had they found an actual quadriplegic to play the role, I doubt very much if it would have been such an emotionally compelling performance as Phoenix gives. In any case, Phoenix is not alone in this movie. We have Jonah Hill as the kind of guru who runs an Alcoholics Anonymous group and becomes the main character, John Callahan's therapist, psychotherapist. And I have to say that a whole lot of this movie is about Alcoholics Anonymous, because what caused John Callahan to become a quadriplegic as a young man was drinking. He got into a car being driven by a character played by Jack Black. They are both totally plastered, and a terrible accident ensues. The Jack Black character walks away with mere scratches. John Callahan becomes a quadriplegic and remains that way until the end of his days, and he died at not very old age, as I mentioned, back in 2010. So Jonah Hill, marvelous as the gay man who runs this AA group and also becomes John Callahan's kind of psychotherapist. We have Rooney Mara in a small role, but an important one, as a physical therapist who works with him. Carrie Brownstein is wonderful as a grumpy caseworker who won't put up with all of John Callahan's misbehavior. And other people, including some marvelous actors like Udo Kier. And I always find the rather dull actress Mireille Enos sort of in very small roles here and there within the film. So again, the movie does a lot of jumping around in flashbacks. We do see a good deal of the older John Callahan talking to a sort of an AA convention and inspiring people with his story. And we have a whole lot of his backstory, mostly in flashbacks when he is younger and when he is a drinker and a very hard drinker and when he gets into the horrible accident. And then we have him in later years, sort of in between years, I should say, when he's kind of beginning to regain his psychological equilibrium and learning how to function as a quadriplegic. And there is very little sentimentality in all of this. As I mentioned, he is a misbehaving character. He does things like race his wheelchair down the street at enormous speeds that are unsafe for anybody. And he complains a lot, and he gets in a whole lot of trouble of various kinds. And so it's a slightly unconventional and I think much more realistic than in the old-fashioned movies about disability portrait of a person who is terribly disabled, who comes to grips with it, but it is not an easy process. I have already mentioned how wonderful Joaquin Phoenix's performance is, also Jonah Hill. I want to pay special tribute to Jack Black. Sometimes he can be sort of annoying to me. He has a very small role in this movie, even though he gets high billing, and he definitely deserves that high billing because at the beginning, when he is the drinker who causes the horrible accident, he is one kind of character, and when he returns briefly at the end of the film, in the later part of the film, as the mature Jack Black, he is absolutely marvelous, and he's a completely different character, even though he is the same character in these various scenes. And I really think he carries it off brilliantly, and I have to really tip my hat to him. He's really growing as an actor all the time. So I found this a very, very entertaining movie. Again, it is a sardonic one, as you can tell from the title. And it does have moments of sentimentality in it, which I found pretty obnoxious, but for the most part, it really avoids that trap. And if I had to choose right now between seeing Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot or Mission Impossible Fallout again, I would choose Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot, because it's a really engaging human drama, and we don't get as many of those as we really should at the movies. And so that is my somewhat trying to get somewhere on foot story this week, Jill.
Thank you for your someone trying to get somewhere on foot. So stare at Films in Focus, the films Mission Impossible Fallout and Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot.